Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. And today we're going to be talking not just about mind power, but about writing power. That's right. Almost everyone has something to share with friends, family, the world, whichever perspective you want to take. And books, contrary to many pessimists regarding them, they're just as popular, if not more so than ever before. And our guest today, Dan Poynter, is a man that has been involved in the book publishing industry, my goodness, for a long time. Hi, Dan.
How are you, Donna?
How long have you been doing this now? You've got into publishing what year?
Yes, since 1969, that's when my first book came out. I think it's important to understand that I have sold my books to publishers, I have published other authors, and I have self-published. So I've been on all three sides of the desk. Most people will tell you about how they did it one way. But before I can give people advice, I really have to know more about the author, about the book, what the author plans to do, because there's no cookie-cutter answer on the best way to publish. It depends on what is best for you.
Absolutely. Now, we have got so much information that is whizzing around us via email, the internet. Now we have downloadable books that people can get. There are so many different modalities with writing. But when it comes to writing, the big D word comes in, and that's discipline. And you have put together, I've got two books in front of me. One is the self-publishing manual, and you also have another book called Writing Nonfiction. And, of course, so many of the guests that I have on my show are involved with nonfiction. Once in a while, I have something with fiction. But generally, these pieces of material that I get are about people, their lives, what they've done, maybe how-tos, just like you have put together so much information relative to this. What made you decide, Dan, that you wanted to be an information resource for people? Because you've been putting out free manuals for people and sharing what your knowledge is. And a lot of individuals might say, gee whiz, why are you so open about this? I mean, why don't you keep it as a great big secret? But you really have literally helped millions of people around the globe to step onto the diving board of becoming an author.
Well, there are a lot of people out there making me very, very proud. I was in the parachute business in Oakland, California, and I was collecting information, and I started writing a column for the Parachutist magazine every month. And after a few years, I said, boy, I could put a lot of this into a book. I could just spread these out. Then I realized there were some areas that weren't covered, and so I went out and did the research, wrote the articles, and writing the articles, well, today it would be a blog, it helps you to hone your writing style, it helps you to collect material, and it helps you to develop a reading audience. So these are the people who are going to buy your book. You just recycle it and sell it back to them. And many people today have a lot of experience. They often say they want to write a memoir. Well, what they're writing about is what they know about their education experience, their work experience. And there are people who need that information, and they're willing to pay you $20 or $30 for it. So many, many people are waking up to the whole area of writing their book and doing their own publishing.
Now, you go into a lot of, you're very succinct in your book. You are to the point. You don't want to waste people's time. You want them to really have the bare bones of information. And in your book, Writing Nonfiction, you go into the fact that there is a new book model. Now, a lot of people might think that that's sort of strange, but we're dealing with a lot of different environments today. Downloadable books, CDs, talking books, all kinds of things that, gee, weren't really around, some of them even just 15 years ago. I mean, this stuff is really moving into a shift quite rapidly. Tell us about this new book model. What is it?
Well, more specifically, it's what I call simultaneous publishing. And that is, instead of doing a traditional route of hunting for an agent and hoping that they like it and can help you with it and submit it to the right publisher, today it's much faster, it's easier to simply publish the book and then send finished copies, printed copies, off to selected agents. I mean agents who have a track record with your kind of book. You don't send a cookbook off to an agent who does travel books. And then you simultaneously send it off to publishers who have a track record with your kind of book. 85% of the books accepted by New York publishers, the Big Six, come through agents, but 15% are sold direct, so you can simultaneously submit them. That's okay. Now, what I show people in the writing nonfiction book can be applied to fiction, too. And basically, one of the big steps or big concepts that people don't understand is you never, never start your book at the beginning. You break it down into easy-to-attack, bite-like chunks. In nonfiction, we call those chapters. And what I want to urge people to do, whether they're doing fiction or nonfiction, is write that piece when it comes to mind, when you're motivated, when you're excited. Just get it into the computer. You can figure out where to place it later. But what happens, Donna, is you write this little thing, you write this little story, which a story could be part fiction or it could be in your nonfiction because you're illustrating what you're doing. You write this little piece, and it motivates you. You say, hey, I'm getting someplace. That was pretty good. And you don't edit it. You write it, and then you write another piece and another piece and another piece, and pretty soon you can take these and sort them into chapters and fill in the blanks, you know, the spaces between the pieces that you've done. And anyway, you've got the first draft of your book already done. Then you can go back and do the content edit, clean it up a little bit, and then we go on from there.
You have 7 principles of financial success in your book, Writing Nonfiction, which I think is very significant, and sometimes it's difficult for people to wrap their minds around it. But the first one is there's more money in selling product than in selling hours. Explain that.
Well, when I came out with my hang gliding book in 1974, it was the right book at the right time. Sales took off like a homesick angel and allowed me to move back to California and to Santa Barbara and to buy this house on a hill overlooking the ocean. The book was selling for $4.95. But anyway, where this came to mind was I went to a meeting of the Hang Glider Manufacturers Association. And one of the manufacturers said to me, Dan, with your book, I think you're making more money than we are, bolting aluminum together and stretching Dacron over it. And I just kind of smiled and thought to myself, yes, there's more money explaining how to do something than there is in actually doing it.
You also make the comment, one of your 7 principles is, well, there's 2 different points. Selling information is very important. Books reach more people. And there's something, in my experience, when people know that you've written something, they want to take it with them. If they like you, they want to have a piece of you. And that is something, that sounds rather crass, I think, but seriously, they want something of you that they can refer to. Now, you talk all over the world. This is something that a lot of people think, oh, I don't know that I could sell that many books. I've interviewed over 3,000 people, Dan, in my 11 years of doing my show. And I've heard over and over and over again people saying, I just have all these books in my garage. What am I going to do?
Well, it's so much easier to sell books today because we have access to the world's largest library. It's called the Internet. With Google searches, anybody in the world can find you and your subject and your book. And many people make the error, oh, I'm going to start off small. I'll just sell in my neighborhood, then I'll expand to the entire city and maybe the state. And you know, you're doing promotion on your book. And it's so easy today via other people's blogs, writing reviews at Amazon and so on. We can go into great detail on how to do those things. But you are reaching people all over the world doing these things. And in addition to that, they can make searches and find you. So you have a worldwide market out there. And going back just a few years, that wasn't available. We had to rely on corner bookstores, but not anymore. We've got a worldwide reach, and I just want to urge people to remember that you may have a buyer here and one over there and one halfway around the world. It doesn't matter where they are. And when it comes to e-books, you can deliver that e-book at the speed of light. There's no picking, packing, sorting, posting, trip to the post office or any of that. You can write your book, you can post the book, and all of the commerce is handled automatically. It's just so much easier today, and it releases you to work on your next book.
You've just talked about how books and how you can reach a lot more people, and one of the points that you bring out in your seven principles of financial success is controlling the product when you're the sole source. And there are a lot of people that have been able to do exactly that, and you go to the point of the internet, you can get paid sooner. I mean, people see what you've got up there, they want to order it. If you have electronically the download on your website, they can get it right then and there, put it down. And that's something that I want to talk about a little bit, because there is a technology, obviously, that goes behind all of this. And for people to download books or to do things like this, do you hire people to do this for you, Dan? I mean, you're traveling all the time. How do you get your books up so that people will say, yes, I want to do this? I'm sure you use PayPal or the equivalent thereof. But how did you manage to get everything up so people could just download it into an e-book?
Well, first of all, you have Amazon. And people often ask me, how do you get your book on Amazon? Amazon wants your book. Go to Amazon, go to the bottom of the page. There's a line that says something like selling things. You click on that. The next page comes up and says, we have two ways to do this. Do you want to do it this way or that way? You pick one. And then, depending on where you are, it usually says, you know, type in your mobile phone number. And you type that in. Your mobile phone rings. It says, type this on the screen. You do it. Up pops the page. It says, congratulations, you're now a vendor at Amazon. I mean, it couldn't be simpler. For your e-book, you can upload it to Smashwords, smashwords.com. At no charge, they will put it into seven different formats, PDF, LIT, Mobi, Pocket Palm, EPUB, Sony, Kindle. Again, no charge. They put it on their website, and when they sell a book, they send you 85%. They only keep 15%. They also have deals with Apple and Google. There you have to give away a little more, but hey, now you've got a worldwide reach. You've got Apple, you have Google, you have Smashwords, you have Amazon. It couldn't be better. It's so easy to get your book up there today. And most people are going to start off with the e-book, and then you really do need some printed books. So it's just that your e-book will go up tonight, and it'll be available everywhere tomorrow, and your printed book will usually take 3 weeks.
That's great. So you're recommending. Now, can that also be used for CDs or DVDs, or is that another approach?
Well, the CDs, DVDs, you certainly want to get them up at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com, places like that.
Okay.
But those are physical products. And where possible, you want to stay away from physical product, because those have to be manufactured and transported
right
to you and inventory. And then you have to answer the phone, and then you have to write everything down and write the order up and go pick, pack, and ship. And it's much better to deal with the electronic product, because all of the commerce is handled automatically.
Right. So people could also do the electronic of a DVD or a CD
if they
want to as well.
There's no difference between letting people download your audio, download your video, or download your book.
Mm-hmm. Great. All right. Now let's talk about the actual printing. You talk about traditional offset printing, which is what I did with my book originally, and boy, was that a cost factor, I'm telling you. Because I put out a children's book, magnificently illustrated, all of this stuff, and it is just unbelievably costly. And the aspect of using digital production, now that is a new way of doing things. Let's talk about the digital production, because the costs have come down substantially, and you don't have to have so many out there, do you?
Well, you talk about your children's book. With children's books, you have four-color printing. That's more expensive. You have to use more expensive paper so that the colors look good.
Right.
And then printing is a quantity game. The more you print, the lower the per-unit cost. So really, with children's books, you're talking 5,000 or 10,000 books to get the per-unit cost down.
Yes.
Very expensive. Today, people are doing their children's books for the iPad. Now, I know people say, well, you know, how do people like, well, what's the future of the printed book? The future of the printed book is there won't be any. It's too expensive. But even more important than that is the customer, the reader. Donna, you give a five-year-old a printed children's book and an iPad. Which one do you think she's going to pick up? It's the iPad. That's the one they're excited about. You open up the iPad, she loads the book she wants, and it will even read to her. So if you have a two-year-old who isn't reading yet, that's okay. The iPad will read the children's story to her. You can even record your own voice so that you are talking to your child or grandchild. It's in your voice. And you can have, she can have access to hundreds and hundreds of different books. You can take her choice. You can do more things with the electronic children's book. You push on the push your finger on the cow, and the cow moves. You tap the lion, and it takes you to a kid-safe encyclopedia all about lions in Africa. It's educational. So now the parents don't have the same guilt trip because they realize that this kid isn't playing games on the iPad. She is reading, she's following along, and she's going off and exploring and learning things. It's a completely, and it's affordable. You can test your children's book out on children, on teachers, on parents, and make it better and better and better. Costs you nothing to make a change to it. You're not putting ink on paper. And then you might be encouraged someday, if you get a tremendous response, to go and invest in the paper edition. But I don't think so, because really, the reader, the child, doesn't want the paper edition. They want the iPad.
Amazing. Now, where do you go to find someone, let's say, putting together an illustrated book that is going to help you put it in this electronic format? Or if someone had a book, like I do, or like many of the people that I've interviewed do, that have artwork, et cetera, in it, how does that convert it into the electronic style?
It's power to the author getting closer to the reader. You can go to Apple and you can download the iBook 2 software, the iAuthor software, and so on. And the author can now do this while they're writing the book. You don't need a lot of technical skill. You don't turn it over to somebody who doesn't even know what you're talking about. You do it yourself. I like to draw a parallel with PowerPoint. With PowerPoint, you can start off with something very basic. I mean, words on a background.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you're doing this, you say, oh, I could have a picture here. Insert picture. Oh, hey, that looks a lot better. Well, look at that. It says insert video. Oh, insert audio. I can have sound. You know, in other words, you're constantly building this. You start off with the very basic, just words and a picture background in a children's book, and then you realize that you can connect to audio. You can connect to video. You can make the pictures move. You can have a hyperlink to a kid-safe encyclopedia and bring in more educational outside content. There are just so many things that you can do, and it just builds and grows and builds and grows. And this really should be done by the author. It's so simple. It doesn't. You don't have to be a technical person. You don't have to hire a renegade to do this for you, because it's just like advanced word processing.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very simple. Power to the author.
Well, I think it's great. Now let's talk about what to write. So many people have so much knowledge that they're walking around with that they just don't have a clue about how to get it down. And I really like your first statement. Whatever you write about, it must be interesting to you. It must be interesting to you. Because if you're not interested in it, it's just not going to come across very well. And I think that that's a very, very powerful statement.
Well, what I say is, let's say that you spent the last 15, 20, 25 years selling real estate, and you're really good at it. As a matter of fact, you've got a little niche there. You've figured out a way to turn apartments into condos. So you wind up selling the whole apartment building, and you're taking all these renters, and you're turning them into homeowners. Great thing. A lot of other real estate people would like to know how to do this. You could really turn out a good book on this. The only problem is you're burned out. You can't stand real estate. And you've got a hobby that you really like, and that is sailing. Write the book on sailing. Mm-hmm. My books, the first books I started with were on skydiving. You know, that's where my heart is. I went out and made my first jump. I fell in love with it. I went back the next day, made three more. I just pursued that. And, you know, and I love to get together with other skydivers, and we talk about it. We listen to it. We read it. We discuss it. We, you know, that's really my first love. So whatever it is, go where your heart is, because that way you're going to, well, many times wake up at 3:30 in the morning so excited you can't sleep because your head is just buzzing with great ideas and ways to explain things. No, go where your heart is and write what turns you on.
A book's title makes a great deal of difference, and subtitles make a great deal of difference. And you say keep your title short, and I agree, because if you have a really, really long title, and I know every once in a while I get somebody that has a title that appears to be like 5 miles long, it's really difficult sometimes. And usually the people end up shortening their titles later mm-hmm. on. But again, like you said, with the electronic medium, you can put something out there for a test, ask people if they'd be interested in it. You know, what do they think about it? Get their feedback. Maybe put a chapter up and get feedback on that. And I think that's a wonderful, wonderful idea. And you also say don't start a title with a number. How come?
Well, your title should be easy to remember, easy to say, 3 to 5 words. You don't want people to get it mixed up, not be able to find it when they look it up or ask for it when they go to a bookstore. Your subtitle can be longer, and it should be explanatory. So between the title and subtitle, people don't have to ask you, what's the book about? They get it right off. The other thing that you need to do right in the beginning is draft your back cover copy, your sales copy. Now, on my website at parapub.com, P-A-R-A-P-U-B.com, I've got document 116. It's free. It's also in those two books that you mentioned, Writing Nonfiction and Self-Publishing Manual. Paint by the numbers, boxes that you fill in. So you start off with a category in the upper left-hand corner. You have an engaging title that is not your, I'm sorry, an engaging headline, which is not the same as your title. A very short description of the book. Your bulleted promises. You will discover bullet benefit, bullet benefit, bullet benefit. Three concise testimonials from completely different people. A little something about the author to show how credible you are. Closing copy, barcode, and price. There is a system to this. People will pick up your book, and they'll look at the front cover for 3 to 4 seconds. They'll turn it over. They'll look at your back cover for 7 to 11 seconds. And during that time, they make an unconscious decision, a subconscious decision. Do I want to read the rest of this back cover, or do I want to look at something else? So it's got to be real punchy. Donna, what normally happens is people put all of their energy into their book, and the title, subtitle, and back cover become afterthoughts. The mm-hmm. outside has to sell the inside. And if you don't, people will never pick up the book and start reading and find out what good stuff you have in there. So I tell people to do the working title first, do the back cover first. And on a recent book, which took me 31 days, during that time, I changed the title and subtitle 3 times. Mm-hmm. Every 3 days or so, I would go in and tweak the back cover. It got better and better and better. It got so good, I cut out all the redundancies, didn't repeat any words, and I was even able to make the type just slightly larger to make it easier to read.
Mm-hmm.
So I run into this all the time. People say, oh, I'm working on my title. I don't have a subtitle yet. Back cover? No, I haven't done. I'm just sick of this. I want to get it out. And that's why we reverse the process. Donna, I have written 127 books. I've been there. I know what's going through people's minds. And when I tell people to do the title, subtitle, back cover first, there's a reason for it.
And that's a very good thing. And let's talk about the cover, because covers sell. And that is something that I know you have used the services of different people. And your book, Writing Nonfiction, has a very apt description, you know, with a laptop and a cup of coffee and a book. And it just fits with what you're trying to convey, your self-publishing manual that you've got. That is there, that is, has a particular style to it. And another thing you do, you put the title of your book in a vertical format, not so people have to turn their heads to the side to read what's on the spine, but they can actually read it from top to bottom easily. Let's go into that cover, because that is something that sells. Covers sell.
You're absolutely right. You're the voice of experience. Different artists have, well, first of all, you have to deal with a cover artist, not somebody who draws a little bit. A cover artist will do the complete cover, front and back, and put it onto a disc, and it's ready to go to your printer, it's ready to go to your website, to Amazon, to BarnesandNoble.com, and so on. On my website at parapub.com, I have a list of cover artists. There's 12 to 15 of them. You must go to their websites and look at their style, because they all have different styles. For example, if you're doing a book for women, you want a feminine type of cover. And you'll probably deal with a female cover artist. So they all do the same type of work on their computer. Back in the old days, some used charcoal, some used crayon, some used pen, paint, all kinds of things. They all do it on the computer today, but they still have a style that really shines through. So you need to go and check their style and pick a couple that you like. Then with anybody you deal with in publishing, whether we're talking about a supplier like an editor or a proofreader or a cover artist, you need to call them up and ask them what they charge. Ask them when they can fit it into their schedule. And the most important question is, have you ever worked on this category of book before? You want somebody who understands your subject. They don't understand your book because they haven't read it, but they understand your subject, and they have previous experience with that subject. Now, what an artist will do is they usually come up with three ideas. They're called comps. And you might select one, or you might take two and say, hey, let's marry these together, let's bring them together. And then they will do the final. And they'll take the back cover copy that you wrote. They don't write copy. They take your back cover copy, and they put it all into a single file. And they know where to put the international standard book number, where to put the headline. I mean, because they do this all the time.
Well, it's Dan, you are just a wealth of information, and your books are just, again, so much to the point, very, very easy to read, how to, and what's even more amazing is that people can go to your website, parapublishing.com, and you have a free information kit. And for someone that's written over 100 books and with your busy schedule, one would say, my goodness, when do you even have time to do this? But you've really gotten it down to a particular patterning and a level of efficiency. Whether it's fiction or nonfiction, your format is typically nonfiction, and you've got help for people that write fiction as well. But I really think that as the person that is giving this information away free, and you just really like people being successful, and I think that's marvelous. So for those of you listening, you can go to parapublishing.com, that's P-A-R-A, publishing.com. He has a free information kit there. Go check it out if there's a book burning inside of you. Even if you just wanted to do something for your family, or if you're wanting to write a story about a member of your family. I encountered some people just a few days ago. That's what they're working on, because they've got family members that are elderly that have these phenomenal stories that need to be shared. All of this can be done. Dan, I know you're swamped. Your schedule's a hectic one. You're going to be traveling very soon here on the Pacific Coast, and I want to wish you the best and continue to share because it's just marvelous. Thank you for being my guest today.
Donna, it's always great to talk with you. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Donna Sebo here. We're going to be taking a break. Don't forget to check out Dan's information because it definitely is worth exploring. And I'll tell you what, it's a good thing to even share it with young people who are wanting to learn how to be writers. Anybody. This is really worth getting. So go to parapublishing.com. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a minute.
It's time to get your glow on. March 2nd through 4th at the Northwest Women's Show, a show that's all about you. 400 exhibits, 5 entertainment stages, over 60 seminars, and best of all, shopping. New this year are special theme days with prizes. On Fitness Friday, wear your tennis shoes. Then stay for Girls Night Out from 5 till 8, packed with wild and crazy fun. The Fashion Police will be there on Stylin' Saturday, and let your glow shine on Spirit Sunday. Meet actress and author Linda Evans, Dave from Dave's Killer Bread and his rockin' band, and Hollywood numerologist Glynis McCants, plus fashion shows from JCPenney, favorite authors Anne and Leslie Rule, and back for all 3 days, Seattle's hottest firefighters. Northwest Women's Show, sponsored by Safeway, BECU, Constant Contact, and Como TV, at Century Link Event Center, March 2nd through 4th. The Northwest Women's Show, it's such a girl thing. Learn more at nwwomenshow.com.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, telephone lines are now open, is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. After having Dan on the show, isn't it interesting to look at how technology is shifting? Well, I will have to disagree with him on one thing. I don't think books are going to go away. I really don't. And I really feel that though we have the electronic media, that yes, the iPads for the kids are great and that's wonderful, but there are other things about books that are just phenomenal. But we're coming into this era and we need to be aware of these shifts and changes. And as a award-winning author myself, I know what that, how important that is, and having gone through massive amounts of publishing and knowing what I had to do when I did it and the tens of thousands of dollars that it entailed, this is absolutely awesome. And it's also a wonderful opportunity for so many people to be able to share their stories, and whether you're, again, writing for someone that you love, or if you're writing for yourself and wanting to get information out to people, you have a wonderful opportunity here. So do check out Dan's site, parapublishing.com. Well, I wanted to share something with you. Now, this is whimsical. This is totally whimsical. It is a no-brain type of thing. It's all about soup. I always get a kick out of these various studies that people do. They must be so bored that they have nothing else that they can think of. Well, there is a neurologist that did research with people. He said he wanted to give personality types, classify people according to the type of soup that they like. Well, these are the winter months, and soup is something that we enjoy in the Sebo household quite frequently. So here you go, folks, just what you didn't want to know. vegetable or minestrone soup. Now, I will say this before I go any further. You can be more than one soup type, okay? You don't have to just be stuck with one. So here we go. If you're a soup person, you like vegetable or minestrone, in their professional evaluations, they feel like you are a serene thinker. Doesn't that make you feel good? Because it's something that's down-to-earth, and you are a very down-to-earth person if you like vegetable soup. And you're thoughtful, introverted, you like long walks, you epitomize grace under pressure, and exude a sophisticated cool that puts others at ease. That makes you feel better about the soup you eat, doesn't it? Well, let's go to something that's really scrumptious, French onion soup. It's wonderful. Well, if you like that, you're a risk taker. And risk takers tend to be drawn to the strong flavor of onion. Now, you like to challenge yourself, and you know that even if you fail now and then, it's okay because you're going to become a winner. Obstacles are opportunities, and challenges are incentives to push yourself harder and to grab everything you deserve from career success to creative fulfillment. Getting hungry? Tomato soup. Ooh, haven't we all had tomato soup? It's almost a standard in most homes anymore, and kids love it. Well, that's what it represents. If you absolutely love tomato soup, now, he doesn't mention whether it makes a difference whether you use milk or water. I'm being a little sassy there. Anyway, it's associated with childhood. Most kids just love tomato soup. So you have a very youthful personality. You relax easily, and you're diligent, but you have a very healthy attitude about life. You really do. You just take things in stride. Now, split pea soup. What would you think about that? I wonder what kind of questions they ask people when they came to these evaluations. Well, they find the people in their research that like split pea soup like to be in the driver's seat. They like to lead. They're confident. They usually are thinkers, and they like to think outside the box. And you relish the spotlight. You think on your feet. And you're very good as a leader. Who knew pea soup could tell you so much? Clam chowder. This is one of my husband's favorites. He just loves clam chowder. Now, again, they don't say whether it's tomato or whether it's the white chowder. Now, we're going to go with the assumption this is the white chowder, but you could always mix it up with the tomato thing and you can combine both of the things together. You're a natural optimist. If you're a clam chowder type of person, you are a person that is very social. That's my husband. He is very social. You love fun. You like being in happy environments. So clam chowder is just one of your favorites. And chicken soup. Who doesn't like chicken soup? It's one of the most healing soups around. I know we've got a caller. I'll be with you in just a minute. Now, if you like chicken soup, you're generous. You're receptive to the people around you. You're very empathetic. You like to help other people. And you know what? You're a nurturer, and you're highly sensitive. Well, there you go, folks. Someone spent I don't know how many hours, and I don't know how much money it cost them, but you got the soup prognosis of personality types. Donna Sebo here. Let's take our first caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Norma from Anchorage, Alaska. Yes.
Hi, Norma. You say you're up in Anchorage.
Yes.
Great. Now, your voice is gurgling just a little bit, but don't worry about that, and it looks like we've got a little bit of a sound delay. So let me get started with you right off the bat. First thing that is coming into my mind is the big word no. I mean, I'm seeing this in huge capital letters. So apparently there is some kind of a conflict with a situation or a person, and you need to be able to say no. You need to be able to say no, not feel any guilt about this whatsoever, and let's see what options are going to come up for you. I was talking with a neighbor just yesterday, and they had a situation where they have some property they're wanting to sell. And the realtor said, well, you can't sell it today. You got to lower it, lower it, lower it. The realtor was interested in selling, not interested in getting the best price for their customer. So we had a discussion about that. And he had said, I'm going to just say no to this person. I said, that's exactly right. You are the one that's in charge, not them. So for some reason, that's what's coming through loudly and strongly. And then I'm getting an eye irritation with you. It could be that you're working on the computer a little bit longer than necessary and you're not blinking, so your eyes are getting very dry. You might get an aching behind your eyes. I would suggest you have your eyes checked for computer glasses so that you can deal with working on the computer and just realize, or whatever it is that you're doing, it's causing a lot of eye strain. And it's so easy to do that with computers. So you really need to be aware of taking care of those beautiful things in your head called eyes, and you want to make sure that you keep them good and healthy. Do you have a question for me today?
I was curious about my son-in-law.
All right. What's his first name or initial, please?
His first name is Rory.
All right. And what in particular were you concerned? I feel like he's just overwhelmed. I think that he just, I'm getting an image of him. His eyes are as big as saucers, and he is just not quite knowing what to do. He's almost frozen within himself psychologically. I think that he's got some big challenges around him. What's your particular question regarding him?
Well, his health, he's young, and his health is very bad. And I worry about my daughter. She's been taking care of him for the last 5 years, and it doesn't seem like there's an end in sight.
Well, I think, one, your daughter needs some help, and two, I think that he just feels like he, again, like he's frozen. It's almost as if I've been put into a plastic cubicle, and I just don't know what to do. And what I'd like to see happen with, I know we don't have enough time to go into a lot of detail, what I'd like to see happen is if there are some friends that can help the wife do some research on some variables that could assist, maybe some alternatives that perhaps have not been considered, and let's see what we can do to lighten her load, because I think
Will she ever be happy?
Oh, yes. I don't think she's all that unhappy, believe it or not, taking care of him. I think what wears her down is that she doesn't know how to help. And that's why I think if some friends could work with her and there could be a proactive approach of let's look at some options that we can consider. But she needs a break every once in a while. She needs to have some relief in her taking care
right.
of him. And that is
right.
what I'd consider first and foremost. And then if there are some friends that could help her out. But she needs like a girl's night out. She needs some things that can enable her as an individual to feel like she has
some
freedom.
I've tried to take her out of that situation, even if it's just a couple days, and she feels like she can't leave him even for that amount of time.
Well, I think that she needs... Yeah, I think a good person to talk to is someone that is involved in, caregiving on another level where they can come in. And again, I'm not able to go into a lot of detail when I'm on the air because
right.
we're limited in our time.
Right.
But I think there are right. some options that she can work with. And if
okay.
she's very afraid that if she's gone, then something's going to go wrong, she needs to know that there are those people that can help.
Okay. I appreciate all your time.
You're more than welcome, Norma. It's a rough situation to be in, but she needs to make it okay yes. to reach out for help.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome, dear. I appreciate that. Blessings to all of your family. Thank you so much for calling in. This is Donna Sebo. I know we're going to take a break in just a minute. And if you want to call in, the telephone number to call in to is 888-627-6008. And quick like a bunny, I want to let you know, tomorrow we're going to be talking about the Grief Survival Handbook. Keith Cobb is my guest. And my goodness, sometimes it seems like there's cycles when a number of people will be passing, and I think it's important to be able to discuss what can be done, how do you help people that are going through difficult times like this, what you can do as an individual, and I think just knowing that there are ways of handling grief is very important. Then we're going to be talking about blood and money. Yes, inheritances. Mark is going to be, Axatura is his name, and then on Friday we're going to be talking about Mark Twain, one of my favorite writers. Hey, we're taking a break. We're going to be right back. Don't go away.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30, and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children, too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com. to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, quick like a bunny, I want to let those of you in the Pacific Northwest know about my schedule because I've got a lot going on here in the Seattle area. This February 25th, I'm going to be at the East-West Bookshop in Seattle. I'm going to be doing Power Mind. This is a program. It's $15 admission. I'm also going to be doing mind demonstrations during this particular class. I'm really excited. If you want to know locations and information, I did an e-blast. Go into my website. You'll have that information there, DelphiInternational.com. Also, my goodness, just around the corner, March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, a women's forum I'm going to be doing at the Pacific Northwest Women's Show. Now, I've been doing this show for about 12 years. I love this show, and gals, it is a blast. It is absolutely marvelous. On Friday, I have my women's forum. I'm going to have five absolutely awesome people. We'll be talking about everything from vitamin D to psychic phenomena. We're going to have an artist there. We're going to have someone talking about hidden history in America and just all kinds of things going on. So check out my website, DelphiInternational.com. If you want information on the women's show, then what I want you to do is go to NorthwestWomensShow.com, and you'll find all of it there. I'm so excited. I'm going to be in booth number 407, and I will be doing many readings for people. On Sunday, the last day of the show, I'll be talking about Spirit Talk at 11:30 on the speaker stage. And then we've got the Emerald Spiral Expo that's going to be held in Kent on March 24th, and oh my goodness, there's so many other things going on. So I will be keeping you informed, and if you want more information, you can always call me at 888-627-6008. I had someone ask me, gee, Donna, do you do classes in various locales? Like if we wanted you to come to Alaska, or if I wanted you to come to Los Angeles, sure, I do that stuff. I'm happy to do that. All you have to do is get in touch with me. I love to teach. I love to interact. And it is just absolutely marvelous. I do private parties. I do all kinds of things. So just give me a buzz at 253-582-5604. That's my office number, 253-582-5604. And all you have to do is call me, and I'll tell you whatever the procedure would be to have me come and appear either at a private party, do an event, speak for your group, whatever it is that you're interested in. Many times, people get very frustrated with young people. They feel like they just don't get it with life, that they have an attitude about being entitled to things. Well, I'm happy to report there's a lot of young people that are very hardworking. They have come from families that have instilled a good sense of ethics in them. And sometimes they give a demonstration of clear thinking, integrity, and just generosity that I think is exceptional. And what I wanted to share with you is a story about Alan Gooey. Now, he's 19 years old. He is in Los Angeles. And he graduated in 2011 from Compton High School. And he had seven classmates. And this is a young man who was a star on the high school basketball team. He had gotten $40,000 in scholarship money. That's a lot of money. He had won it in a competition. And he told his seven friends that he was dividing the money among them. Well, his friends could hardly believe it. With the cost of college anymore, it's just a wonder to me that parents can even handle it. Well, they were thrilled with him. The reason he did this, there's a story behind it. In November of the year 2000, Gooey's family moved from the Ivory Coast to the United States. And he immediately became enamored of basketball, just fell in love with the game. And before anybody was even totally aware of his talents, he was doing the game. He was playing in high school, and he entered a free throw competition at the school. And by golly, he won it. Now, he had a 3.5 GPA. He was the only player on his basketball team that could even qualify for this competition because there was a man that had put this competition forward. He was an advertising executive and a documentary filmmaker. His name is Court Crandall. And he wanted students with a grade point average higher than a 3.0 to compete for this $40,000 grand prize. Well, he won it. Well, what happened is that he also had this scholarship to California State University in Northridge that came through for him. And he said, you know what? I decided that I was going to take that prize money that I won, because he checked on this first, and he could divvy it up. He said, each of the contestants got a windfall of about $11,000 for college because of his generosity. Now, he's at school. He's a freshman. He said, I work really hard at everything I do, but whatever happens in my future, I'm just happy that I was able to help somebody else along the way. Now, this young man has qualities of character that surpass a lot of the stuff that we hear about in the news. We need to hear more about young people like this, because there are quite a few of them out there. If you have a special story you'd like to share with me, I'd love to hear it. I'd love to know about the young person, because I think sharing their story is important. Their future is going to be made by who they are and what they do, the decisions they make. And I think as mature individuals, it's a good idea to support them. What do you think? This is Donna Sebo. I'm so delighted that you've been with me today. tell your friends. Tomorrow we're going to have an interesting show, as we always do, here on the Donna Sebo Hour, and I'm so glad you were able to join me. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a fabulous, fabulous day or evening wherever you are, and I'll be talking to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.